case, but opinions do not help us. They change like the wind blows, and that's one reason you see so many so-called ministries come and go, and that's why you see so many programs that have to get bigger and better over time. They have to grow. Now, some programs may bring lasting fruit, but I don't have time to wait and see if they work or not. Life is short, nor do I want to experiment on my children to see if they do work. So instead of going on man's promises on how to equip the saints, we will equip the saints the way the Bible tells us, and that is to preach the word, just that easy. You see, we have two tools here at Living Hope, and I might add you have the very same tools at home. The first tool we use to equip is God's word, the Bible. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, meaning men wrote the word as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The word is inspired in that it came from God, and since it's from God, then it is profitable for doctrine. That means the word is divine, is a divine truth necessary for life and godliness. For reproof, it's good for reproof, to correct wrong behavior or wrong belief. The word is good for correction. It points out the way back to godly living. The word is good for instruction and righteousness. It trains us for a righteous life. And so the result of preaching the word, verse 17, says that the man of God may be complete, that you are capable of doing whatever God has called you to do. Thoroughly equipped for every good work, you are able to meet the demands of ministry and godly living. The word of God is complete and is all you need to be thoroughly equipped. You don't need any self-help books. You don't need Oprah or Dr. Phil. All you need is Jesus. They are sufficient, Jesus and his word. If you were to come to any of the pastors here with a problem, the first thing we would do is open the Bible and see what the word of God has to say about it. This is God's love letter to his children. This is a collection of books that is God-inspired, and since God has created it, he knows what's best for us. Since God has created us, he knows what's best for us and what we need. And he says, we need his word. Amen? So we use the word. Now, the next tool we have is prayer. We pray for you, and we hope you are praying for us. So then we have everybody praying for each other. Now, if the church uses these two tools, then the church will mature and have a deeper knowledge of Jesus, knowing his commands, knowing his attributes, knowing how to walk with the Lord. The only way we obtain a deeper knowledge of Christ is by spending time with him, worshiping him, praying to him, and reading his word. We have to get to know our Savior. You've heard that saying that you don't know someone until you live with them, right? Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We no longer live for self, but we now live for Christ. He lives with us. He lives in us. And the Bible says that we are to get to know our roommate. Now, we saw last week that the gifted men equipped the saints. Why? Verse 14. Look down at verse 14. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. We are not to be children all our lives. We are to grow up, you know. I've heard so many times, you know, well, we got a lot of baby Christians in the church. And, you know, after 3 or 4 years, I want to know why. Why are you not growing? Why do you still have a lot of babies? They should be maturing by now. Hebrews 5:12 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again. You need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk, everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. We as believers should seek the righteousness of God. We should hunger for solid food and not milk. Here's a fact for you. Write this down. You never have to beg a hungry person to eat. And so as the pastor should not have to beg the Christians to study their Bible. You see what I'm saying? If you have a hunger for God's word, then I don't need to beg you to read it, to study it, to memorize it, or put it in your heart. You'll do it on your own. If you're reading your Bible just because I ask you to, then you're doing it for the wrong reason. Now, if you need my help, I'll be there. We'll come right along beside you. We'll all help you get started. We'll be your best friend when it comes to studying the Word. But every Christian should have a hunger in their heart and want to dig into the meat of God's Word. So as we mature, we will grow and we will no longer be children. Okay? So what's the result? We will no longer what? Verse 14, be tossed to and fro by the ways of every kind of wind of doctrine. When we mature as Christians, we will have stability in our walk. We will not be tossed to and fro, meaning that we will not chase every new fad or every so-called new revelation that comes along. You see, this happens a lot in the Christian world today. People are jumping from church to church, you know. They're doing the latest and greatest things. Their walk is unstable. They're always looking for something bigger, something better, you know. And this usually happens when one is focused on self instead of Christ. You know, this usually happens to the people who are asking when they walk in the door, what can the church do for me? So they end up having instability in their walk with God. They don't have stability in their church family. They don't have stability in their witness. They're tossed to and fro. They end up chasing man's wisdom instead of God's truth. Kind of reminds me of the car salesman. Not picking on car salesmen, in case there's anyone in here. But you know, you go down there one day, and he's selling Chevys. He goes, man, this is the best car right here. You can't go wrong. You need to buy this car right here. And then 6 months later, you see him, and he's selling Ford, which is an upgrade. But he's selling Ford. And you ask him, say, you know, I thought you were selling Chevys. He goes, oh, man, they're a piece of junk. You don't need those. What you need is this right here. You need this Ford car now, you know. And then 6 months later, you see him. He's down there selling Toyotas, proclaiming they're the best, you see. Pretty soon, his word is worthless. Same thing happens when Christians chase after the next fad. Pretty soon, people don't believe what they say. You see what I'm saying? No stability in your walk will blow your witness and stunt your growth because you're not seeking the things of God. So when the gifts that Jesus has given to the church are used properly, we'll see that the saints will be properly equipped. They will not be immature. They will grow. They will not be children. They will have stability in their walk, not tossed to and fro. And the third thing is that they will not be gullible. And they will not be taken in by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Anytime you have an immature, unstable Christian, listen, the door's wide open for any false teacher to walk right in and lead them down the wrong road. Hey, these false teachers are very impressive. They will wow people with their zeal and sincerity, and this happens a lot. I know a man who has fallen into a cult. And you want to know the reason that he's down there with those people? Listen to this. He said this to me. He said, I could not find a church in my area that studied the Bible like these people do. That's sad, isn't it? But it's true. The churches he went to, and he did, he went to them, he went around, he said they were more interested in entertaining the flock than studying the Word. So he goes down the road, he comes into this cult, and he thinks he's found the real church because they're studying the Bible. Now, just because you can't find a church that is equipping the people properly, it doesn't give you the right to go join a cult. You know, you're still going to have to answer for your own actions. You know, if this guy, this immature Christian, would study the whole counsel of God for himself, if he would be sensitive to the Spirit, then he would be able to see that, you know, the deceitful twisting of the Word that's happening down there. But do you see how easy it is to be wowed by the false teacher's religion. You know, see how easy it is to be wowed by their so-called sincerity to the Word of God. So that's why you have to have a firm foundation in the truth in order to resist the, what do you call it, Pastor Vince, the wileys of the devil? Yeah, okay, thank you. The wheelies of the devil, yeah. You know, you gotta resist that. But these false teachers will make you think that they're the only true Christians, you know, and they do that by showing you their works. They work hard. They work hard. You know, you can hear people talk about, oh, man, they're good people. Yeah, man. They're working hard at being good people. And then they make you think that they're the only holy ones. Look what we do. Very persuasive. And listen, to top it off, they're very good at convincing you that you can become one of them. You can be one of the chosen if you just do this, they say. They got something in there. They use the word, but they twist it. You know, what did Satan use when he tempted Jesus? Used the word of God, but he twisted it, right? What did Satan use when he tempted Adam and Eve? He used the word of God, but he twisted it. You know, I always tell people, do you think a false teacher is going to come in and say, hey, look, follow me, I'm going to lead you straight to hell and eternal damnation? Nobody's going to follow this guy, but they're good at what they do. Me and Jim Shear was talking about this the other night. You remember a Jim Jones story? You remember him? Over 900 people sold everything they had and followed this false teacher and went down to Guyana. They got caught up in the experience. They got caught up in the twisting of the word. And if you don't know the rest of the story, go look it up. It's sad. Totally sad. The cultists are smooth talkers. And you better know what the truth is so you won't be gullible. Don't be gullible. So when the church equips the saints the way God has intended, we avoid three dangers. We avoid immaturity, we avoid instability, and we avoid gullibility. Okay? Now, what's the result of equipping the saints? Well, a spiritually equipped church whose members are sound in doctrine and mature in their thinking and living is a church that will be able to reach out in love and proclaim the saving gospel. In love is the key. Look down at verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. If we grow up in every way into him, then instead of being blown around to and fro, instead of chasing all the man's wisdom, we will be able to speak God's wisdom. We will be able to speak the truth in love to a lost and dying world. But this love has to begin within the church. It has to start in the church in order to take it out into the world. When each person is equipped and when each person is working properly together, then the result is that the body will grow in love. And as the body grows in love, then it will be able to take that love out into the world. The church is to go and make disciples as it is commanded. Listen to what John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is God's plan and God's command. Love begins in the church, and then we are able to take it out to the world. The key is love. Move on down to verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So Paul says, testifying in the Lord, that is, by the authority of the Lord and by divine inspiration, he urges the Christians to put off every trace of their past life as if they were dirty, stinking coats. Take it off. Put it off. We are to put that off and put on the virtues of the Lord Jesus. We are to be like Christ. So how do you become more like Christ? Well, Paul begins here, or the word begins here, by telling us what we are not to do anymore. This is the first thing. Here's where you start. He says, don't walk like the Gentiles. Now, in this context, the word Gentile simply means unbelievers. And Paul is saying, you should not act like an unbeliever anymore. You are now different. You have the Spirit of God living in you. You have a new roommate who is with you at all times. So you are to no longer walk like them. You have a different walk. The unbelievers walk in the futility of their minds. Aimless. Their life is empty, purposeless, and fruitless. Not so with you, he says. They have no spiritual wisdom, so they cannot understand the things of God like you can. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man, that's an unbeliever, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him because they are spiritually discerned. The things of God do not make any sense to someone who does not have the Spirit of God in them. It's all foolishness. It's all crazy. But when you become a believer, you realize that there is a purpose. There is a purpose for your life. You know that there's a heaven. You know that when you pass from here, you will have eternal life with God Almighty. Right? You got a purpose. Now, just for a moment, I want you to think about the ones who do not have a living hope in their hearts. Or maybe think about your previous life. There's no God. There's no heaven. So when you die, you die. That's it. That's sad. Now, how do you think this affects this person's decisions in life if that's all there is to life? An unbeliever doesn't have a living hope. They have no hope. So here's their hope. They do have a hope. Here's their hope. They hope they can have as much so-called fun as they can, to collect as many toys as they can, and then die. If he believes this world is all there is, then he's going to try to get as much of this world as he can, and then die. Listen to the difference between one who loves God and one who loves the world. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it is all passing away. But the good news is, he who does the will of God abides forever. So do you see the difference? If you do not love God, and the only thing you have love for is this world, you're just loving stuff that's passing away. When you have the Spirit of God in you, it really changes the way you perceive life. It changes the way you look at this worldly stuff. When you have the Spirit of God in you, the things of this world, what? Will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And when you have the Spirit of God, you will have hope. You'll have a living hope. Now, since their thinking is futile, their lives are being wasted on, because of the way they think, their lives being wasted on worthless objects, untrue teaching, and immoral behavior. That's the result of futile thinking, futile way of thinking. And what happens? They're blind. Why do they think like that? They're blind. Verse 18. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They live in spiritual darkness and are blind is because they are so far away from the light of God. They are blind and full of ignorance. And what's the cause of this blindness? What's the cause of this ignorance? Due to their hardness of heart. They are blind and ignorant because of their hardness of heart. Now, how does the hardening of the heart happen? Well, it comes from continually rejecting God. Pastor Vince mentioned this morning, Romans 1, 18 through 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. By their unrighteousness they suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. You can look upon creation and see God. You can look upon creation and know that this didn't just happen over time. You can look at creation and know that there is a creator, and you can look in your own heart and know that you didn't just happen, that something has created you, and you can know that there has to be a God. And that's why God says, so they are without excuse. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they... Listen, same thing here, but they became futile with their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. God says you are without excuse. You could see him in all of creation, and if you keep denying that there is God, if you keep hardening your heart, God will eventually harden it for good. One day he's going to say, have it your way. And listen, as Christians, our hearts can become hardened to sin. We have to be careful. Here's how it works. Let's take the sin of gossiping. That's an easy one to do, right? So the first time I sin, I say, Lord, forgive me. I should not have said that about Chris. Please forgive me. Chris Fields. Clear that up. Now, the second time I sin, I start off by saying it this way. I know this is wrong, but I'm going to say what I got to say. You need to hear this about Chris. Third time, well, God knows how I am. I'm just going to say what I got to say. Next time, doesn't even bother me, you, whoever. You just start gossiping and never stop and end up taking the whole afternoon doing it. You keep committing that sin, and pretty soon that sin won't bother you at all. You become callous to it. Your heart becomes hardened. You end up blowing your witness. Your walk becomes unstable, and all people see you as a hypocrite. All sin works the same way. If you let it creep into your life, pretty soon you'll be a slave to it, and the heart hardens. Hardening of the heart is a process. If you keep denying the conviction in your heart and keep denying God, then one day he'll say, have it your way, and you'll reap the consequences of that sin. So we see that unbelievers walk with no spiritual purpose. They are spiritually blind, they are in darkness, and their hearts are hardened to the truth. What's the end result of denying God? Verse 19, they become callous and have given themselves up to the sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Listen, they give themselves over to sin, trying to fill what is missing in their lives. They're trying to give purpose to their life, so they chase after everything in this world. But without God, they will never be content. They will never have complete joy. They will never have peace. And so they end up trying to fill their life with the lust of this world, and it will never be enough. Remember, when a man does not have God, then all he sees is this world, and his purpose is to get as much of the world as he can before he dies, and he never can get enough. The word says that they will sin with greediness. They got to keep grabbing for more and more, and they go through life aimlessly, blindly, separated from God without a true purpose. And then when they get to the end, they see that it's all vanity, vanity, vanity. That's why we must love and we must share the gospel. The world's full of people who are without a living hope. We have hope, and we are able to show them that there's a better way to live because of the hope that is in us. We show them in love that we no longer chase after the things of this world. We show them in love how we were once in darkness and blind, but now we have the light and can see. So the word has just described how a non-believer walks, and he says you should no longer walk in that way. We are to not walk like the Gentiles do. We are not to seek the things of this world. You know, I don't have to be relevant because the word's relevant, right? I just preach the word. It's relevant. Listen, the problem that Paul was dealing with back then is the same problem we deal with today. The problem isn't getting people in the world to live like Christians. What's he doing here? The problem is getting Christians to stop living like the world. Hey, we're all surrounded by the world, just like the Ephesians church was back then. But we're not to live like the world because we are different. We as believers can no longer live as we previously did. We're not the same person. We're made new in Christ. We are now totally opposite of what we used to be. You see, the unbelievers are darkened in their understanding, while we as believers have the light of Christ and are given his wisdom. The unbelievers are separated from the life of God, while we as believers have been made one with him through Christ. The unbelievers are in ignorance, while we as believers have access to the full knowledge of the truth. And that's why we can no longer walk that way. If you are a child of God, you can no longer walk like an unbeliever. So Paul has reminded the believers who they are. He wants them to remember the moment when they came to the knowledge of who Christ is. Don't forget the change that happened when Christ came into your life, he says. Look at verse 20. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Not like that. Assuming you have heard about him and were taught about him as the truth is in Jesus. Here Paul is talking about their salvation. Remember when you learned about Christ. Remember when you received Christ as Savior and Lord. Don't forget that moment. Because that at that moment, that's when the Holy Spirit came into your heart and the truth of God was revealed to you. You see life through a new set of glasses. You have the truth. And when you have Jesus, you have the truth. You have the truth about who God is and who you are. You're now able to see things differently. When you look at creation, you will know that you did not evolve. When you look at sin, you'll see for what it is, and you'll be able to understand that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. You will understand salvation. You will know that God has provided a way for man to be reconciled to a holy God. You'll be able to look at life, hell, heaven, and eternity through the light of Jesus, and it will all make sense. You can now see life through the light of Jesus. And because you have the light of Christ, here's what you are supposed to do. Verse 22. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And we'll pick up next week right there. Pastor Fitz.